Leviticus 17, and we'll get there in just a minute to our, not really our text verse, but just kind of a verse to start with that we'll look at before we get into what's the text verse, if you will, for this morning, if you want to say, use that term. But, you know, there's many words that we take and use, you know, commonly, I guess you'd say, and this morning we're going to talk about a lot throughout the message, one of those words that we use a lot in our language. And that word today is beautiful. Amen. Beautiful or beauty. And you think about, I thought about, you know, sometimes that that's been used in my life, you know, a lot of times. I thought instances and times and recent times especially. And there's several things that's happened to lead the Lord's used to lead me to this message for this morning, what He would have us, I know, to talk about. And I'll share those with you as we go along this morning. But a few weeks ago, me and Kelly and David, Daniel, we was able to go, y'all know, to the mountains. Amen. And any time I go up to the mountains and drive up there, whether it be Boone area or whether it be Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, you know, Chimney Rock, wherever it is up in the mountains, that I get to drive through at any point, you know, or even a couple of times to Helen, Georgia, and there's mountains over that way too. But anytime you get to go through or around the mountains, for me anyway, when I look at them, when I drive through them, there's a thought always that goes through my mind at some point, and that is, man, this is beautiful. Amen. You think about, you go through the mountains, I think, and I thought that last few weeks ago, I said, man, these mountains are beautiful. I'll never forget, till the day I die, I'll never forget. We went to the mountains several times with Pete and Doris before Doris passed, and she absolutely loved the mountains. They loved the beach too, but she loved the mountains, and I'll never forget, they was telling us about a trip they had one day with some other friends. And her and Doris, Pete said, as he was driving, was sitting back there. I think it might have been Bertha, Brother Brent, if you remember her, Bertha Weimer, Diane's mom, but Diane Kimbrell's. But anyway, either way, they were there in the car as they were riding up through there. And both of them was just sitting there going back and forth. It was the fall time when the leaves was changing. And both of them was just sitting there going back and forth in the vehicle as Pete was driving up through there. Oh, these mountains. I love these mountains. I love these mountains. They just kept on going back and forth about how they love these mountains and how beautiful they were and everything. And so when we went up through there, they told us about that time. And Pete said every time they go up through the mountains, they always joked about, oh, I love these mountains. Pete said, go ahead and just say it. Get it out the way. I love these mountains, you know, how beautiful they are, because they just always went on. So every time he went to the mountains and got to the first part of it, he would always look over at Doris and he'd say, go ahead, say it. And she would say it, you know, with a little extra enthusiasm, I guess you'd say. And I think about that too when I go up to the mountains of, you know, how beautiful, amen, the mountains are. And all y'all mostly have been there at some point, I'm sure, and it is a beautiful place as you look at the trees, the rocks. This time of year, I'm guessing it's getting close to the leaves. They hadn't really changed too much when we went there. But another time that I think about this word beautiful is Brother Gary and Sister Diane. Amen. No. But when I go to there, when I go down to the beach, amen. And I know he probably thinks about it too, evidently, because for them to get a place down there, I miss Diane right now. She could say amen to me with this. But anyway, every time I go to the beach, which is my favorite place, I love the mountains, but every time I go to the beach and I get down there and I look out on that ocean, there's one word that goes through my mind: beautiful. Every time I see those mountains God created, I think, beautiful. Every time I see the ocean that God created and I look across it and see those waves rolling in and everything, I think, beautiful. Every time I go down there, see, not every time, most times, let me clarify that, most times that I go down there and I get to sit on the pier, or sometimes if we've got a place like this past time that has a little porch type thing or whatever, and especially if you're there on the water, you go out in the mornings, you look out, you see the sun rising or the sun setting and the ocean too, it's hard to beat that sight. Amen. And boy, I look out and I say, man, that is beautiful. Amen. That ocean, that everything is just so beautiful. I say that to give you a third time. is that I think about the word beautiful is this past Wednesday night, me and David and Daniel rode home together after church, and then Kelly rode in the van. And when we got home, pulled in the driveway at the house, amen, there's that rain we prayed for. Thank the Lord, amen. That's beautiful too, amen. But took and pulled up there at the house in the driveway. David made a comment, and I don't know if he remembers this or not, but he made a comment in the back as we pulled in. He looked up, he said, "Dad," as we were just pulling the driveway, he said, "I think that's a full moon tonight." And I said, "I don't know." I said, "We'll have to see. I don't know if it is or not." And then we pulled into the driveway, and we got to the spot where we parked the car, and he looked up, and he said, "Dad," he said, that moon tonight is beautiful. And that's the word he used. He said, "It is beautiful." Now, it wasn't a full moon, not quite. But what he was referring to was when I looked up at it and I saw it, there was like, and it's hard for me to put this into words because I'm not good with words anyway, but there was some like clouds, you know, around it that you could see from the light of the moon too, and you could see those little bit, you know, darker, puffier clouds. I noticed that last night was the same exact way. You could see those little puffy clouds, you know, right there around the moon, surrounding it with that light. And that's what he was, you know, talking about. He said, "Boy," he said, "that moon is beautiful." And I got to thinking about those times and those things, that the moon is beautiful and the water being beautiful and the mountains being beautiful. And I thought about, you know, God has a beautiful creation. Amen. I thought about when David said that Wednesday night, there was a thought that come through my mind before I got into the house after all that. I thought to myself, I said, "Well, of course it's beautiful." Amen. It is beautiful. Because what did God say in Genesis? He said he saw that it was good. Amen. I think about simply the fact that God has created a beautiful creation. And we think about all those things as being beautiful. But I think there's sometimes things that God has made and God created as well that's just as beautiful as the ocean. That's just as beautiful as the mountains. That's just as beautiful as the moon. Or anything else that you want to name creation-wise, since we're on that line this morning. Those things that we look at and we say, "Boy, that's beautiful." Maybe a little baby or something even that would be used for. There's something that sometimes things that we look at and we think, "That don't look too beautiful to me." But if we actually are honest, you know what sometimes some of those things are? They're really beautiful. This morning, what I want to talk to you about, I think most of the time people... I can never think of a time that I have heard anybody say what I'm going to say this morning about this when they saw it. Okay? This is what we're getting ready to talk about this morning. The title of the message is simply "The Beauty of the Blood." The song that Kelly just sang, along with all that the Lord used to speak to my heart about the blood, is beautiful. Amen? The blood's beautiful. I don't know about you, but I've never taken and cut my hand or you know, at work through working or different things or paper cuts or whatever have you or something of that nature. I've never taken and been cut or hurt in whatever way and blood starts coming out, amen, and I've looked down and I said, "Wow, that's beautiful." I've never done that. I've never heard anybody say that. I've never seen anybody else bleeding, amen. It's hard to say it when it's you, right? Although sometimes you bleed and you don't even know it. I don't know, maybe that only happens to me, but sometimes that happens. And you look at somebody else bleeding and you say, "Man, look at that blood coming out, Brother Gary. That's a beautiful sight. I have never yet to see that happen." Now somebody might try it now just to see how. I thought to myself, next time somebody bleeds, I'm going to do that and just see how that comes out. You know, maybe that would be a good trick to play. "Oh man, look at there, that's beautiful. You don't need a Band-Aid to cover that up. Just let it come out. Man, that looks wonderful." You know, see how they would think you loony, you know. But anyway, but I submit to you this morning, there is beauty in the blood. Amen. There's beauty in the blood. The beauty of the blood. Leviticus 17, if you will. We're going to look at one verse here just by way of introduction. Leviticus 17, 11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Amen. Thank the Lord this morning for the beauty of the blood. From a physical standpoint, if it was not for the blood, we would not be living today. Amen. You say, what in the world do you mean? I thought it was about the heart or oxygens and all those things, and it is about those things too. But the Bible here points out the importance of the blood. Amen. Because we know from science and from things that's happened before in the past that we get into maybe through the message this morning, that if you took this morning, and don't do it, but if you took this morning Brother Brent and you drained every bit of blood out of his body, what's he going to do? He's going to die. He's going to die, right? If he don't have any blood at all whatsoever in his body, he's going to die. Blood is important. Amen. The life of the flesh, the Bible said, is in the blood. That blood is what keeps us going. Amen. The blood is what does the things with the oxygen that has to be done. Amen. The blood is what does all the things with the red blood cells, white blood cells, all those cells, amen, that the doctor checks when he draws your blood and all those things. Amen. That's so important that I don't even know all about, but I just know a little bit about that we could get into. Amen. You think about the blood is important this morning. The life of the flesh, the Bible said, is in the blood. And if people would have realized the truth of that, the depth of that a long time ago, there would have been a lot of people's lives spared. Amen. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But the life of the flesh is in the blood. Without the blood, the life goes away. The blood is important when it comes to the physical body. Amen. It's very important. But the blood is also important when it comes to our physical body. But also our spiritual. Amen. The blood's important when it comes to our spiritual this morning. The blood is very, very important. Turn with me, if you will, to what's going to be our text verse now this morning. Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah and then Jeremiah. Amen. If that helps you any. Isaiah chapter number 1. You go Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and then comes Isaiah. Isaiah 1. And this is where I encourage you. We're going to turn to other verses this morning. But if you got a little bookmarker, you might want to take and go ahead and just throw that right there in Isaiah 1 when you get there. And that'll help for the rest of the time this morning. Isaiah 1 and verse number 18 is our text verse this morning. The Bible says here, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." Notice this. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Amen. And so notice here that first this morning, the message is simple this morning. I'm thankful for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is beautiful. Amen. Let me say this by way of introduction before we get into the verse, and then we'll get into it here. It's simply a lot of times people today accuse us, amen, Independent Baptist especially, but anybody that still sings about the blood like we did this morning, anybody that especially talks about the blood when it comes to salvation or the importance of blood, a lot of times people today will try to take the blood out of the songs, and a lot of churches have. A lot of people have taken the blood out of their messages. A lot of preachers, a lot of denominations, a lot of people have. Instead, they've replaced it with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will. And not even never mention the blood. The death's important. Amen. He did need to die on the cross. There's no doubt about that. But it's the blood that's the life of the flesh. Amen. It's the blood that takes and does what verse number 18 is talking about here. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says in another place, there's no remission of sins. Amen. The blood is vital for our physical body. The blood is vital when it comes to our salvation and our spiritual as well. You got to have the blood. Amen. You take the blood out, you got a problem physically. You take the blood out, you got a problem spiritually. Amen. You've got to have the blood. And there's three simple things this morning that I believe we can see here about the blood. The beauty of the blood this morning. It's beautiful. Number one, first off, notice verse 18. It says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet," notice that, "they shall be as white as" what? "Snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Amen. In other words, first off this morning, there's beauty of the blood when it comes to its color. Amen. There's beauty in the blood when it comes to its color. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if I was to take this morning, I am not going to do it. Amen. If I was to take and make myself bleed somehow, don't do that, by the way. I know some people do that. Don't go cutting yourself and all that. It's a whole nother story. Amen. But if I was to take this morning and to show you blood as an example and say, what color is that? Everybody knows what color it would be, right? Red. Right? We'd say, look at that red blood, right? If it comes out a different color, pink or purple or blue, then we need to go see the doctor probably. Amen? Something is wrong. Alien among us. But anyway, the blood would be red. Amen? That's why the Bible says here, it describes, if you will, it says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The color of our blood this morning is red, if you will. We might say scarlet, that's form of it, or crimson. Amen. When I think about those colors, I think about those Gamecocks. Woo, amen. We'll keep on going, amen. The color, when I think about the blood, amen, it's red. The color is important, amen. You think about the color. The color of the blood this morning, the color. I can only judge, and I believe this is an easy thing that none of us would disagree on this morning, that when Jesus Christ came here to this earth, He was fully God and fully man. Amen. And because He was fully man, guess what He had in His veins? Blood. Amen. Just like me and you. Amen. He had blood. Amen. That if He was to get cut, no doubt He did at times in a carpenter shop working, I would think, right? Splinters, etc., no doubt, playing little kid when he was younger, whatever. He took and he bled. We know, especially when it comes to the cross, we know about the blood there. Amen, that we could get into and read things about. But the point is, the Lord Jesus Christ had red blood going through His veins. Amen. He had red blood. Yes, He was fully God, fully man, but as part of being fully human, he had red blood, no doubt. And about that whatsoever. And when you take and you look at that red blood, especially of the Lord Jesus Christ, I say this morning, what a beautiful color that is. Amen. What a beautiful color, and how beautiful that is to see the Lord Jesus Christ shedding His blood, that red blood on the cross of Calvary for me and you. Amen. You see, this morning when we look at the blood, we look at our own blood, we ought to remember the beauty in that we've got some. Amen. That's keeping us going, that the Lord gave to us. Amen. But also, when we see that blood, it ought to remind us, we see the color of it, it ought to remind us the fact that when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, He shed that red blood for us. Amen. That color of the blood. There's beauty in the blood this morning, in that red color. He created. You think about when the Lord created us and made us back in Genesis, He created us and gave us the ability to have this human life that we have today. He took, the Bible says, and breathed into us the breath of life. And man became a living soul. But you know what else He also gave to us that allowed us to become living and alive? Red blood. Amen. Because if He didn't give us that red blood, He would have had to figure out some other way, and I'm sure God could have, definitely, amen, to get us going. But He put red blood in there too, amen, to where we could take and survive. And He said in Leviticus, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Amen. God knows better than even the doctors did, and even better than the doctors do now, although they've learned a lot about the blood down through the years and the importance of it. He knows how important that blood is. Amen. He knows what it does in our body. And when you think about the blood, that blood is red this morning, especially when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, that royal red. You think about today, He created us and He gives us the ability to have the human life that we have here on this earth. For our life, there must be, for this physical life, there must be red blood present in our bodies. If you take the blood out of our bodies, as I mentioned earlier, we'll die. I did a little bit of research yesterday to make sure I had the name right. I remembered this, but I couldn't remember who, and I looked it up, and you remember one of our presidents in particular died because he lost too much blood, George Washington. They let too much blood out. They thought this bloodletting would work to the place they let all this blood out, to the place that he would get better. And that's happened with others down through the years too, with leeches and things they put on them. And they'd take too much blood out, and guess what happens? They thought they were cleansing them by getting the impurities, the bad things out. And what winds up happening? They die because they took too much blood out. And you think about, but now doctors learned through all that down through the years, and they realized what Leviticus said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Amen. That red blood is beautiful. That red blood is important. You say, it don't look too beautiful to me. Well, let's drain it all out. And you'll say, give me some of that blood so I can keep living. Amen. You'll think it's pretty beautiful then. Amen. I tell you, the blood is important. That color of that blood is beautiful this morning. If we don't have enough blood in our body, maybe we don't have, we're talking about none, but maybe if we don't have enough blood in our body, we're going to have a lot of issues, ain't we? If we ain't got enough of the different cells and all those things, we're going to have a lot of issues. I thought about, as I looked this up, there's one type of issue with the blood that's fairly common that a lot of times people talk about, anemia, right? You become anemic if there's an issue with your blood and things. And you think about this morning of how the blood is important. If we don't have enough blood, we got a lot of issues and we could possibly die from it. The color of the blood is beautiful and it speaks of life. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But notice verse 18 again, and we see the second thing. There's beauty in the blood when it comes to its color, but there's also beauty in the blood when it comes to its cleansing. Notice verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm glad this morning that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm glad that that color is there, amen, and that's the part of the beauty of the blood. But the second thing is I'm glad that His blood is something that cleanses, amen. By the way, the blood's something that cleanses us physically too, and I'm not going to go into that no more than that because I'm liable to say something wrong because I'm not good when it comes to all the doctor stuff. But the blood does have a lot to do when it comes to cleansing our bodies of impurities and different things of that nature. Amen. The blood is important. The blood is there for cleansing when it comes to the spiritual sense as well. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of our sins. The Bible says, turn with me to 1 John chapter number 1. We'll look at another place. Not the book of John, but 1 John toward the end of the New Testament. 1 John 1. 1 John 1. And notice with me verse number 5. The Bible says in 1 John 1 verse number 5, this then is the passage which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But here it is, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And here's an important phrase. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, does what? Cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. It takes and does exactly what Isaiah 1:18 says is what the blood of Jesus Christ does when it comes to our sin. Amen. It changes the color of those sin. Amen. We say a lot of times about our sin being black, and it is. Amen. And it takes and washes us. Amen. Here it uses the word scarlet. Amen. But it takes and it makes us white as snow. Amen. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washes away. It cleanses us, if you will, from every stain of sin. That's why we sung the song this morning, and we sang the song a lot of times, what can wash away my sin? Y'all know the rest of it, right? Help me. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It cleanses. Amen. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. In the Old Testament, the blood sacrifices they had, the bulls, the goats, the lambs, the sheep, and so on and so forth, all those sacrifices did not cleanse, if you will, or wipe out or wash away their sin. You look at the language of the Bible carefully, and what it did was it covered their sin. There's a difference between washing and wiping out something and covering it. Amen. And the Bible in the Old Testament, those animal sacrifices were one that took and just covered that sin temporarily. And then what did they have to do later on? Offer another one. Offer another one. Offer another one. And so on and so forth. Whereas now, because of the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember what John said when he seen the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. He knew exactly what was going on, being the forerunner. He knew that was the Lamb That was the perfect lamb, without spot, without blemish, that was going to come, that was going to die on the cross and shed that blood that wouldn't just cover man's sin, but instead that would cleanse it. Amen. That would wash it away completely. That you and I could say, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. As we sung this morning, you think about today, thank the Lord for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary as that perfect lamb shedding His blood that it could take away and cleanse every stain. You see the difference between, there's several, but I just stick with one this morning. In Hebrews chapter number 10, it tells us an important difference between the blood of those Old Testament sacrifices and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He shed for me and you. In Hebrews 10, we'll just read a few verses here to get the whole context. Hebrews 10, 1, it says, "For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices," those Old Testament animal sacrifices I just mentioned to you, "can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." It didn't make them perfect. It didn't wipe it all away completely forever. "For then would they have not ceased to be offered." They would have stopped doing it, right? But they didn't. They had to keep doing it because that did not wipe away everything, those animal sacrifices. "Because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible," it says, "that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." It's not possible they take them away. Notice the wording there carefully. Like I said earlier, they could cover it, but not wash it, not cleanse it, not take it completely away. Notice verse 5. "Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice," talking about the Lord Jesus, "sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." Above, when He said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst thou pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said He, "Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God." He taketh away the first. We don't have to offer the sacrifices of the animals anymore. "That He may establish the second," the new covenant that we have now. Important verse, verse 10. "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ." And if you hadn't marked the next word in your Bible, it's a good one to mark. Y'all see it? Once. Amen. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ only needed to die how many times for us to be saved? One time. Some people get that wrong. They think that every time you sin, you're causing Him pain and you're causing Him to die again. There was a song years ago that came out, and I loved the song until I realized the song, although I think there's a lot of good things you can glean from it, the main point of the song was not scripturally right. And the song said this. It said, I'm trying to think of the words to it now. It just left my brain. It was there. But it said, "Am I still causing pain every time that you sin?" And I can't remember the exact words. "And I just can't bear the thought of hurting Him." And the song goes on to talk about that every time you sin, are you still causing pain to the Lord? Is He being nailed to that cross again? Is He suffering that pain again every time you sin and every time you do wrong? Well, the answer is no. Amen? Because that would be crucifying Him over and over and over again. And the Bible says He died once for all. Amen? Once for all. The blood's there on the mercy seat. Amen? In heaven, when you get saved, guess what? God puts that to your account, washes away your sin. He's died once for all. Amen? Just like we sing sometimes, I think it's in our hymn book. If it's not, it's in one of these somewhere around here. Once for all, O sinner, believe it. Amen? Once for all, I'll receive it. Amen. There's one time. Amen. One time. You think about simply the fact today that the Lord has cleansed us once and for all, as the song says. Thank the Lord for the cleansing of His blood that cleanses us from every stain. Amen. Every sin. Isaiah 1:18, again, back to the third thing now. The third and the last thing this morning, the beauty. There's beauty in the blood because of the color. There's beauty, and you can apply both of these to physical and spiritual, by the way. There's beauty in the blood when it comes to the color. There's beauty in the blood when it comes to its cleansing. But thirdly, there's beauty in the blood when it comes to its changing. Amen. There's beauty in the blood when it comes to its changing. Notice here it says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as," that, you know, showing a similarity there, "though they be as scarlet, they shall be," what? "White as snow." Amen. "Though they be red," like, a similarity again, crimson, "they shall be as," what? "Wool." I'm glad today to know that my sin and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has changed my sin. It changes it. The blood changes things. Amen. You say, I don't know what you mean by that. Well, from a physical standpoint, there's lots of examples we could give. But I think about this. If you don't have enough blood in your body, right? There's something that they have got very good at, for the most part, doing nowadays. If you don't have enough blood in your body, maybe you had a surgery or procedure or something like that done, and you lost a lot of blood through that process, right? Maybe some of y'all's probably had this done maybe at some point. And because of that, they'll come in and they'll say, "Hey, we need to give you some blood," right? "We need to give you a transfusion." And they'll take and give you some blood that somebody's given a pint, and they got a pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream somewhere or something for, possibly, right? Maybe some of y'all's donated blood in the past. I don't know. But you take and you give that blood, and then somebody needs it because they don't have enough blood. If they don't get that blood, they're very liable to die a lot of times, right? They've got to have the blood. But that person gets that transfusion of blood into their blood, and what happens? If it's done right and good and everything, and the right type of blood and all that we could get into, what happens? They get better. There's a change in them that takes place. Why do I say that? Because simply today, I'm glad to know that the day that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was applied to my heart, my life, my account, and I was born again, amen, the second time, guess what? And I became an heir of His family, His blood has changed my life forever. Because of the transfusion, if you will, what He's done in my life, making me His child, part of His family, now my life has changed forever because of His blood. I'm glad today to know the color of the blood is beautiful. The cleansing of the blood is beautiful. But the third thing about the blood that's beautiful is the fact of how it changes. Our sin was black, as we often say, or you could use what's said here in this book, but yet because of the cleansing of the blood, amen, that's been applied to our account, there's a change that's taken place. As the hymn says, "I'm thankful today for the wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb." There's power in the blood, amen, we sang about this morning. I was going to sing it, but we didn't get the music to it for some reason. I couldn't find it. But thank the Lord, there's power in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. There's power in that blood, and it changes us. Amen. If you will, it changes us from having to spend eternity in hell. Amen. Because we have to pay the sin debt for our sin, as Romans 6:23 talks about, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Because of what He's done, when we accept Him as Savior, we take and His blood gets applied to our account. We're made, as we say, the word justified, just as if we've never sinned. Why? Because the blood washes away every stain. As we read in John a while ago, the blood cleanses us from all sin. It's gone. God looks at us and says, as the old song says that I talk about a lot, "What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore." Amen. They've been washed away. They're gone. All because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about sometimes that of how when we get saved, the Lord forgives us of our sin and washes us. And we talk about how that means our past, present, and future sin. Amen. You see, they're all gone. They're washed away by the blood. Amen. In that sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up again. Amen. Thank the Lord for what His blood can do tonight. Amen. This morning, His blood is wonderful. Ephesians chapter number 5 is a good verse of Scripture. Ephesians 5:25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives." I'm not going to preach on that today. "Even as Christ also loved the church," and notice this, "gave Himself for it." Here's why we're here, "that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word." Now, I thought about that. Who's the Word? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who's the one that died on the cross and shed His blood so that we could be saved? The Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord. Now, verse 27, because of the washing of water by the Word, you have verse 27. It says that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having what? Spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and what? Without blemish. How could you and I be made that way? There's only way. There's only one way, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That cleanses away all sin. Amen. That does what Isaiah 1:18 talks about. That changes that sin. I thank the Lord for that. It washes it away. Notice with me one more verse. 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Another good verse of Scripture. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 18. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 18. It says here, and I've always loved this verse. One day when the Lord jumped it out to me at Bible college when we was studying through the book of 1 Peter, and I've never forgotten it. It says in verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." In other words, you can't be saved by buying your salvation. Amen. You can't be saved by the things you do, by buying it, works, etc., whatever. Verse 19, "But," here's how it is, "with the precious blood," I like those words, "of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish." We just read about that in Ephesians, right? "Without blemish and without spot." I'm glad today to know that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ changes things. Amen. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has changed things in my life. That's why we talk about when a person gets saved, what the Bible says over in Corinthians. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, what? All things are become new." Amen. Why? Because of the blood. Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes all the difference in the world. I tell you today, the blood's beautiful, ain't it? Amen. The blood's beautiful. I found something interesting in Isaiah 1 in verse number 18. If you still got your marker there, I'm going to read this verse one more time. It says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as," what is that word? Scarlet, right? It says the sins be as scarlet, like scarlet. "They shall be white as snow." That's what the blood does. Notice the word scarlet. Maybe if you want to mark it for a minute, but keep that in your mind. "Though they be" what? Red. Here's a second comparison, right? "Though they be red like" what? Crimson. Notice that word real closely. Notice the word scarlet. Notice the word crimson. I took and looked up those words yesterday. Scarlet and crimson. You say, why is that important to what we're talking about? And I may get part of this wrong. Y'all have to forgive me because of my colorblind issue. Okay? When I think about scarlet and crimson, I look at the colors, I can't tell the difference. Scarlet, crimson, it's just red. Okay? I can't tell the difference. I can see Alabama's a little bit different. They're crimson, tide, roll tide. You know, they can tell the difference in the color when it comes up. But I can't really tell a lot of times. Crimson and red. Scarlet, it says. Why do I point that out? Notice it says scarlet, it says, and crimson in describing this here. Because I want to read to you what those words mean. The words scarlet and crimson. When I clicked on those words to see what they meant in the Greek, I looked at it and it had some crazy word. Two words, actually. And I looked at that and I thought, what in the world? And it said something at first about, and don't take this wrong, I didn't know what it was talking about. It says something about a female's dead body. A female's dead body, it said in one spot. I'm thinking, what in the world is this talking about? I was really lost. I mean, I'm just talking about scarlet and crimson. What has this got to do with anything? I thought it'd say red or something, you know. But it said something about a dead body, and a female dead body, and had these crazy words that I had no clue what at all it was talking about. So I clicked on the word crimson, and it had the same, it had a different Greek word, okay? If you go home and research it, it had a different Greek word. I mean, Hebrew word, excuse me, Old Testament. It had a different Hebrew word. But the definition was the same crazy word, okay? For lack of a way of saying it. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. And it had the same thing again about dead female body. I'm like, what in the world is this talking about? I am more lost. I shouldn't even looked at this. But then when I looked beside crimson, it gave the explanation, and then it all kind of come together. Okay? And why I'm telling you this and why this is important. I'm going to read to you something that it had when I looked it up at about this two words that I am not going to try to pronounce, that I ain't even got wrote down because there was no point because I wasn't going to try to pronounce it, and what this female dead body thing was that it was referring to. Okay? It says, when the female of the scarlet worm species. That's what those two words was describing, was this worm. Okay? It was a scientific name for this female worm. Now you get where I'm going. I know what that was, right? You see those scientific names, why don't you just say a worm, right? Why you got to have a scientific name too? But all that aside, I'm going to read to you what it said. When the female of the scarlet worm species was ready to give birth to her young, this is beautiful, she would attach her body to the trunk of a tree, fixing herself so firmly and permanently that she would never leave again. The eggs deposited beneath her body of the young were thus protected until the larvae were hatched and able to enter their own life cycle. As the mother died, they are firmly attached to the tree. The crimson, you see the word scarlet? Now you see crimson. The crimson fluid stained her body and the surrounding tree she was attached to. From the dead bodies of such a female scarlet worm, the commercial scarlet dyes of antiquity were extricated. So from this female scarlet worm is how they got the dyes to make these colors that he's talking about in Isaiah, as this worm did this on this tree. What a picture this gives of Christ dying on the tree, shedding His blood that we might be born again, that He might bring many sons to glory, as He says over in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 10. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:10, "For it became Him," talking about the Lord, "for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He died for us that we might live for Him." Psalms 22 and verse number 6, I close with this verse, is a good verse of Scripture, and it's pretty powerful. Psalms 22:6. The Bible says here, the psalmist David said, "But I am a worm." He said, "But I'm a worm. And no man," he said, "I'm nothing, I'm nobody, a reproach of men and despised of all people." May I say this morning, this worm took and it attached itself to that tree, never to leave it again, for one purpose only, and that was to die, to shed its blood so that it might give birth. And that tree was stained with red blood forever from what took place. I don't know about you today, but when I see Isaiah 1:18 and I see those words, that speaks to my heart even more than before. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet," think about that scarlet worm, "they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson," that stain colored that was there on that tree, "they shall be as wool." I'm thankful for the Lamb of God that shed His blood to wash away every stain. Thank the Lord today. There's no doubt in my mind there's beauty in the blood. For somebody that looks at us and says, "Hey, y'all got a bloody religion. Y'all talking about, singing about the blood all the time and all that." Maybe a good response is, I've always said, "Amen, you're right." But you know what? Is to say, you know what? That blood's beautiful. If you just realize what all it's done in my life and what a difference it makes. The blood is beautiful this morning. We sung a song a while ago that we're familiar with. It says, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it," what? white as snow. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for His blood this morning. If you'd stand.